Willkommen bei Fahrradio. Ich bin Hans und das ist die englische Version unseres Interviews mit Jamie Davis von Honda Fastport. Wenn ihr das Interview lieber auf Deutsch hören wollt, schaut nach der nächsten Folge, die Nummer 212, für eine KI-generierte Übersetzung. Hier geht's jetzt weiter mit dem englischen Interview. Viel Spaß dabei!
Oh, good morning. My name is Jamie Davies. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Honda Fastport. As part of this new product category at Honda, we started roughly 22 months ago. At that time, I was part of the team initially there, one of the founders for this particular product, and have worked during that time to help shape the product, customers, really understand the market, and excited to finally have the Honda Fastport vehicle here today showcased at Eurobike 2025.
Yeah, well, speaking of product, maybe you could describe your product in short, because we don't have pictures, it's only audio, so just to know why we are here.
Absolutely, so we're at Eurobike 2025, and the Honda Fastport is a cargo bicycle, and we call this a commercial cargo bicycle. And really what the opportunity is that we see is this middle ground between what is a traditional bicycle or two-wheel device and a full motor vehicle. So we're filling in that white space that we don't think's really been in the market before, this high quality, high durability, built for purpose type device that allows you to do work in a professional way, but still is pedal powered.
And yeah, I was quite impressed or astonished, or I don't know what to say, because like Honda is a very large company and mainly known for cars. And I mean, if I see the Fastport, the first thing probably is the K car. I think of the small cars in Japan, but not bicycles. So who thought about that category? I mean, because these companies want to earn money sooner or later. So
what I would say is Honda is a mobility and a solutions providing company, right? And so you're right, we have maybe known for, you know, automobile, that's one of our product categories. We also have motorcycle, marine, ATV, side-by-side, automobile, even aircraft. Yeah, and so from our perspective, we see this as kind of filling a piece within our product category, especially as we think about new mobility and cities and how they adapt towards the future. As we all know, e-commerce, last mile delivery, is continuing to increase. And there's good and potentially bad portions of that. From the environmental perspective, e-commerce and delivery may be quite efficient for a CO2 perspective. But from the livability perspective inside cities, congestion, how you deal with that congestion on a day-to-day basis, maybe impacts the lives of people. So really what we're seeing is, you know, maybe there's some friction and some problems that we want to solve as a company. Maybe it's on the road, people as they deal with congestion and parking, and maybe it's even the delivery driver themselves who has to deal with parking. So we see this as kind of a nice opportunity for us to help solve a problem and really size something. You know, when you think about mobility, if you think of it from the perspective of all you have is a van, then you'll only ever use a van. But at some points, it's kind of tragic that you use maybe a 4,000-pound car to deliver a 3-pound pizza. So the right sizing, providing solutions that have the opportunity to change people's lives in the market, that's what we're interested in doing.
So the vehicle you're showing here, what are the dimensions and, say, weight, stuff like that?
So this fits within that cargo bike classification and really a commercial cargo bike. So it has four wheels, and we thought four wheels, from our perspective, based on feedback from customers, was really important for that stability, handling feeling, also the number of braking and whatnot, braking power. And so we focus on creating this micro-mobility platform with four wheels. The width is 1 meter, so that fits in a standard bike lane that you'd see across Europe. And the length is roughly 3.3, 3.4 meters. And volumetric capacity is 2.4 meters cubed.
What's the maximum payload?
Oh, gross vehicle weight rating for this classification is under 650 kgs.
Okay.
And so it really fits under that category of a micro car. Again, between that micro car and that bicycle category. Mm-hmm. From our perspective, the capacity is really the driving factor here? Because you may look at this and say, oh, this is somewhat large for a bicycle, which I may not disagree with. But the counterfactual argument is a sprinter van or a delivery van, in which case this is 40% of the size. And so when you're replacing something that large with a right-sized platform, that's where the opportunity for progress is. That's where the opportunity for efficiency is.
So you work closely together with all the design centers around the world, or did you just think about that thing and then said, okay, that's it? So how does that work at Honda?
Well, the way that we set up this particular project was we looked within American Honda, and the company was very interested in, well, how can we create new products? And really towards this vision of how do we innovate inside the company and create not just a new trim of a car or a new model of a car, but say, let's really look at how do we make something new and different that can provide value to the company and to people, customers, society as well. And so we brought together this small team across many disciplines, designers, regulatory, engineers, product, and said, well, let's give them a space where they can run a project without formal evaluations that would normally happen at a large company and say, let's act like a startup. We were a group as a startup within the organization. We were given some resources and a little bit of freedom to say, let's build something new and different that provides value to the customer. And our perspective on this was we wanted to solve problems that we saw. And we went around, we spoke to a number of companies and said, what are the pain points that you have? How can we fix those for you? And through that process of customer engagement, iterative design, agile development, we've brought to you already something that's had three or four different iterations in a rather short period of time.
Okay, there were 2 points, startup and customer feedback. And why I was talking about Cologne is that where I live, the streets are buzzing with vehicles like that. And they are from former little startups that started, say, 5 years ago. They developed from rather clunky vehicles with chain drive and stuff like that. And they have matured. And the feedback I heard that DHL, for example, in Germany, they are thinking about building their own vehicles. So, 2 questions. Is there space for another vehicle maker? And where do you see your role as coming from a larger company versus the smaller startups?
I think we're approaching this very humbly. The startups that have been in the space, they've innovated a lot. They've helped demonstrate that there is, you know, operational efficiencies with this type of mode. Really what I see is the need to move forward in this industry. Again, I think there's plenty of market available, but what we need to do is to be able to prove out that you can scale something. And so bringing scale on the vehicle, that it's high quality, it's durable, it's reliable, it can last in the business setting, this is what's needed. I mean, when you say customers or that normally deliver packages for a living are saying, well, we should build their own, there's some kind of mismatch there in what they're seeing, right? They're seeing that maybe they're not getting the quality, reliability, and durability. And so one thing we've approached here, because Honda has that portfolio of components and products, is there's not a single bike component on this vehicle, aside from the seat and the dropper post. We're utilizing high-quality components that are robust, been tested in the market, and get that scale. I think the innovators in this industry have done a lot to prove out economics, and I think now we can start to mature that. And I think it's a good thing that we have competition, we have OEMs coming in, because this now helps everyone, right? Start setting the standards, start making this seem like it's a market that's ready, that can scale. The worst thing, I would say, from the perspective of one of those companies, that I run a test or a pilot, and I figure out that operationally, it saves me 30 to 50%, let's just say hypothetically, and the riders like it, but I want to go order more and I need to pay $10 or $20 million to scale up an operation. That's not my business. It's a challenging point, I would say. So having investment, having ability to scale on the vehicle side is important.
I mean, as you said, if DHL, they had already an own project, you know, the street scooter probably, and it didn't work.
So maybe we should walk around the vehicle and you can just show us around.
We're in front of the Fastport Honda vehicle. Hans, you mentioned the swappable battery pack. This is the Honda Mobile Power Pack. It's a lithium-ion battery, and it has a capacity of 1.5 kilowatt hours. It's a 50-volt system, and we utilize two of them. And we have the ability to draw in series. So battery one depletes, and then after that's depleted, battery two depletes. And if you'd like to swap out the battery, it's really a one-minute process. And we get roughly 40 kilometers of range.
And it is 10 kilo?
It's for every person, every woman, every man can handle that.
Absolutely. So it's designed...
Is there a regulation? Do you know?
Yeah, globally, there's various standards. In the United States, something like OSHA. But even individual companies, large companies, they all have their own ergonomics requirements. If you're picking something up, you can pick it up with one hand, one arm, and place it into the vehicle.
And where is it fitted on the vehicle?
It's fitted right behind the driver area, and we've actually integrated into the frame. And so what you would do is you'd reach down, you'd push on a lever and slide out a tray, and then place the battery in that tray. So 1 minute process, very fast. And these batteries take up to 6 hours to recharge. But of course, they're swappable. So as long as you have batteries on hand, you can change them out and go upon your day.
On your scooters, they are already proven.
Yes, exactly. So the Honda Mobile Power Pack, globally, we have over 100,000 of these in circulation. Vietnam Post, Japan Post, Thailand Post. And we utilize them in an ecosystem that we call Battery as a Service. And so this is another product now that's starting to use this battery system. We utilize them in scooters, K-vans, and even with competitors. So for example, in Japan, Yamaha is one of our competitors. They utilize this in ATVs, golf carts, other products. So again, it's trying to bring about that ability to utilize a battery across an entire ecosystem and leveraging that for greater scale.
With that, batteries, do you... You don't own them then, or is that, as you said, battery as a service? Is that then a service that I rent a battery or pay the charging?
It depends on the market. So in Japan, there is a battery as a service. So you could have the scooter, and as you go about your day, there's places where you could swap out that battery. For the case of business-to-business fleet sales, typically companies want to be able to own their own batteries, so you always have to help the customer in whatever need that they may have. And so certain customers want to own the asset, you have to make that business model available to them. But I think if you're looking at broader consumer markets, that's a very interesting business model to be able to provide.
Currently, this is not a consumer bike. Is it... Do you think about like camper vans or whatever? I mean, as you said, you had...
It's always hard to speculate, but as you know, when you have a great product, right, over time you can figure out all kinds of use cases. And it's funny you mentioned the camper van use case to us. That's kind of an internal joke that we have, is can we make these into tiny homes as well?
For the size too, I would fit.
Yeah. So there's always opportunity to expand the product range, but we're really hyper-focused on an initial target market and customer, and that's going to be where we're going to be able to grow from and establish ourselves.
Hans, I remember that you are really a bit more into micromobility as I am, I think, with these tiny robots that follow you or what. I don't know whether this Piaggio thing still works.
It does.
And all that stuff. Can we put that later move on to the cockpit?
Yeah.
So, well, as you mentioned, you have a bicycle seat. So there are different concepts, like some vehicles, they have a lower seat, more car-like. Yep. Some have this bicycle-like position. How did you come to use that?
What we really focused on was how do we provide an ideal biker experience? Mm-hmm. So really what we're focused on is how can we create the bicycle experience? So that's the upright pedal position feeling, the pedals slightly in front of the seat. We call that a pedal forward design. Mm-hmm. And ergonomically, having something that fits a broad spectrum of users, focusing for us on that fifth percentile female up to that 95th percentile male, and making something that fits them. So in terms of where we started with the cargo bicycle, it was really the cockpit first. How do you focus on the person, the human that's going to be utilizing this to make it comfortable from that ergonomics position? We actually benchmarked bicycles on the market and found the bicycles on the market that were the most comfortable and that could fit those different sizes of people in the market. And then from there, we also looked at very simple things like entry and exit. For example, we have a floor that you can step through on. And honestly, that's very important as you come in because you want to be able to have a steady place where you can put your foot, have one point of contact, put your hand and another hand so you can enter the vehicle with three points of contact. Again, focusing on how do you make this something that you do Luddites for work purposes.
Actually, I wanted to ask you because it looks very roomy and very easy to get on and off, because if you're delivering packages, probably most of the time is you getting on and off the vehicle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the entry exit was really important for us. So you can see we have grab handles at the side here, that floor, really open and roomy position. And the feedback we've gotten from riders is they really enjoy that feeling of they're being protected. So they have this 1 meter cargo bike. It has a floor. It has the canopy around it. That gives them what they feel like is a good amount of protection. They're not so vulnerable on the road. And then at the same time, they still feel open and airy and connected to the outdoors. And that's part of, I think, what we're trying to do is reduce the stress, anxiety, and really make this a comfortable place to be.
How long are people working on a vehicle like that, typically?
Yeah. It varies depending on the companies, but typically what you'd see as a shift is maybe 8 to 10 hours a day. But interestingly enough, they're not riding it for that long. They're on and off the bicycle. So typically what they'd have is a stem. The stem ride is the initial ride from the facility, the logistics depot. And typically that's 3 to 5 kilometers. So they're on the bicycle maybe 15, 20 minutes. Then they start moving into their delivery zone. And once they're in their delivery zone, they're riding for a minute and then stopping and then delivering for 10 or 15 minutes and then getting back on. So over the course of the day, maybe 12 kilometers, 20 kilometers of movement, but over that entire shift. So actually not that much saddle time, as you would say. But that's the portion that makes this really convenient from the operations perspective, is you can park closer to where your delivery point is. Instead of being in a cargo van, circling, looking for parking, this gets you a lot closer to where you need to be.
So speaking again of getting on and off, I haven't followed any delivery rider, but if you get from one house to the next, you need to start and you need to stop and make sure that your vehicle doesn't roll away. Is there anything special compared to a regular bike, cargo bike?
So safety is paramount for us. And in terms of, you know, you mentioned the roll away. What we actually have is an electronic parking brake. So every time the vehicle comes to a complete stop, that parking brake engages. So that's a key safety feature. With regards to braking, we have four-wheel disc brakes all across the vehicle. They're not bicycle brakes, they come from an ATV. In terms of deceleration, very, very strong, stable deceleration. And really from your top speed, you'd be able to stop in an emergency situation in about a second after applying the brakes. Very controlled. Very good stopping.
And well, when it comes to the cockpit, it looks like friendly. I mean, it's warm now. If you imagine winter, will the drivers, or do they have them warm clothes, or will there be sort of a heating system or something like that?
So we have the open cockpit right now. I think that's key for being able to show that this is a bicycle, you pedal, it's enjoyable in that way. What we found is actually there's mixed response in terms of maybe doors or enclosures, depending on the market. So when we did testing in the Netherlands, talking with users there, they're very used to bicycling. And for them, they said, we'd rather have open cockpit. It's easier for us to get in and out of the vehicle. And when it's cold outside, I'm coming to work dressed appropriately for the task at hand. So from that perspective, they have a high degree of understanding of that category, and that's how they show up to work. Others, where they're maybe less experienced, maybe a different area, other safety concerns, then they do want some more enclosures. So over time, we're going to be able to develop accessories that we can accessorize this for the local market or customer or different use cases.
So this is like a bicycle, like EPAC regulations in Europe, right?
Yes, correct. So an EPAC, a 250-watt continuous motor, pedal assist, and top speed is 20 kilometers per hour.
20 kilometers?
For that category, the maximum is 25, but because of what we're trying to ensure, which is the entire performance envelope with a full payload, uphills, of course, we're limiting the speed to 20 kilometers per hour so we can have that full performance.
All right. So, and if there, I reckon there are countries, I think Belgium probably and Switzerland, you're allowed to ride with a throttle. Mm-hmm. Are you offering that as well?
We're not offering a throttle. This is only pedal assist. So once you stop pedaling, you won't get any more electric boost from the rear axle.
But if a customer would say, well, we'd like to have a throttle, would you mind?
I think there is opportunity for this category. If you talk about what we've really built is, we think, a micro-mobility platform. And that will allow us to cover these different categories over time. Potentially, we could start looking at different categories for these types of vehicles. I think there's an LE6, LE7 category. Do offer those kind of throttle options. So something we can look at for the future. But for now, what we really wanted to look at is the cargo bike, because that really offers so many advantages in this kind of operation space and a really clear kind of business space for us.
Did you, when it comes to exterior design, which is difficult with cargo, but did you think about how do people, passengers, or the people in the city, how do they react on a thing like that? Because it doesn't look bulky or massive or aggressive. Did you care?
Absolutely, but I can't take any credit for the design work that's happened on this vehicle. We have some wonderful designers that they've thought about it really carefully. Like I said, how can you build the vehicle around the rider and also the environment? Having it fit into the environment is really key for us. So how it looks, its shape, its presence as it comes down the road, the full canopy, so you can see the person smile as they move past you. These are all human elements that matter incredibly. I mean, that's part of the most enjoyable part of cycling, is you get to see people's faces.
Yeah, and I actually really like the height as well. So if you're on a regular bicycle height, I mean, if you have SUVs around you, it's nice to be able to communicate with drivers and to be in a sort of open situation with other cyclists, pedestrians.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the element of you having to be able to see out of the vehicle, so your sight lines, which comes into play with what you're saying, the height that you're seated. So that allows you to have a really commanding view of the road. And then the other piece is how you're seen by others. Other people have to notice you, and that's all fundamental to safety. So that's why you can see around the vehicle. We have front headlights, rear lights, side light markers, mirrors. It's all there for that entire kind of safety, for you to be seen and be seen by others too. In fact, we even have the digital rear view display. So that digital rear view display is always on. It gives you a sense of what's behind you.
All right.
We mostly talk about customer or personal vehicles. We always talk about what's the price. Is the price important in a category like that?
I think the price is incredibly important. Where we are right now is we're trying to bring a solution to market, demonstrate that there's value there. But I think initial customers, price may be higher than what you could expect in this category, but in line with the competitors. But over time, I think being able to bring down the price for micromobility is going to be key for adoption.
So I see on this panel, is that an iPad? Well, it's a tablet.
It's a tablet computer.
Yeah. So there's a tablet on the handlebar, and you offer services around, digital services around the vehicle. Could you explain shortly what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about micromobility, and the overall arching goal here is to replace cargo vans and other larger vehicles on the market, as Fastport Honda, we could bring a high-quality, durable, robust product to market at scale, and that would be a win. But at the same time, in order for us to really bring a comprehensive solution, the key part of that is not just the vehicle itself, but everything, the ecosystem around it. So the products and services that are needed in order to support this new innovation. And so from that perspective, that's why we say fleet as a service, offering the servicing of the vehicle. How do you do the routine maintenance? How do you do the periodic repairs, right? Corrective repairs, warranty work. Those are all critical for how you bring a new product to market. When you talk about using vehicles for work, you need data. You need to be able to understand how those vehicles are used for work purposes and then make decisions. So we have a fully connected software-defined platform here in a micromobility device. And I think that's maybe one of the first things that strikes us as different here is this is actually a software-defined platform that allows us to change the solutions or software solutions that we provide over time and then customizations for the vehicle. And then in addition to that, like we mentioned, the batteries, being able to provide high-quality, safe, robust batteries, all of that together we see as critical ecosystem. And as we expand on that, I think there's opportunity for leasing or financing, insurance services as well, to get at the affordability and ability for us to really scale the solution.
So if say a business has a logistics platform, the riders need to know where they should go. Is that something they do themselves, or is that something you provide, or do you work together with them?
I think it's from our perspective, we have the data. We're able to take that data from the vehicle, put that into the cloud, and then ship it via API to customers. So I'd say there's a lot of companies out there, the delivery companies, you see all the delivery riders, they have cell phones, right? Each one of those cell phones has a specific application for routing, package delivery. What we'd like to do is to be able to take the app that's on that phone, run it natively on the vehicle. So again, you're getting that hands-free experience. And so they can integrate their application into the vehicle itself. And then when you're talking about fleet management software, a lot of the fleet management software focuses mainly on the vehicle itself and the asset itself in terms of how it's being utilized, driven. What we're looking to do is create a comprehensive solution that has servicing in it as well. So that gives you transparency into the support of the vehicle, uptime, spare parts costs, spare parts availability to really that you need in order to run your fleet.
All right. One important thing, when do you start actually delivering vehicles like that? And do you have already like customer?
So initial deliveries will start in 2025 for the first units.
Well, this is this year.
Yes, this year with some key partners. Production will be 2026.
And in what countries?
Starting initially in the United States and then now rolling out as well for European markets.
All right. Anything we forgot to ask?
We've been really comprehensive here.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.